My name is Bear Fiorda, and you're listening to Pure Evil MMA.
So this past weekend, Israel Adesanya going in there, not putting on the best performance, but with all that, you know, trash talk of it, it was such an amazing card. I was at the edge of my seat the entire time. And now that I'm done with that interview, I can finally smoke a quick cigarette before I go to the liquor store in just a little bit. While my mom's at a Grateful Dead concert. It's just crazy. I was like, I'm not going to the Grateful Dead con. You know what happened last time? You gotta sell your soul to the devil. I ate way too much acid, man. It was nuts, dude. And I love eating acid, loves taking mushrooms, and man, it was just too much, dude. I got to the point where there were just too many people. It wasn't comfortable. And I love going to festivals, but this was like in the woods, all muddy. I was like, this is not fun. I need to go home with the rats. I need to get the hell out of here. So I needed a break from going to a little festival, especially with my mom, even though my mom told me that never mind. I'm definitely a hippie kid, though. I'll tell you guys that much. But yeah, UFC 276 going down here this past weekend. Man, the way it started, let's start with this. Freaking Jessie Jess getting her arm snapped. So I guess we'll just start tweets of the week about this event before we kind of get into it. All right, perfect. So UFC, see which fighters impressed at UFC 276. Alex Volkanovski. Alex Pereira. I mean, listen, Alex Pereira fighting here out of Connecticut, too. Fighting out of Connecticut. I got to be all about that. I got to get behind this guy. And I mean, it's so weird how it all happened because it feels like yesterday we got to see Israel Adesanya make his debut in the UFC. And for those of you that didn't watch that fight and didn't watch the interviews leading up to Israel entering the octagon, my boys over at Submission Radio, shout out to my boys over at Submission Radio, they did an iconic interview with him that set the whole tone of his entire career from that point forward. He says, I'm going to get inside of the octagon and I'm going to piss all over it. That night that he made his debut, he walked inside the octagon, lifted his leg, pissed on a cage. We were all like, what the hell? And you know how they like to use the C word, the see you next Tuesday. We were like, this guy, like, Jesus. And he went in there, didn't have an amazing fight. Not until a couple fights in did he really start to shine and we started really believing and Israel Adesanya. And I got to say, you know, at the point that he's at right now is perfect that he won the fight the way he did. He didn't look too amazing. But at the same time, you guys got to remember, this is the top tier. This is the top of the top. This isn't the top 30. You are fighting the best of the best time after time, five rounds, every single fight. Until you know, lose your momentum, lose your flow. Alex Pereira, man, is on a killing spree right now. Knocking out his opponent the same way Sean Strickland, who, I'm going to talk about Sean in a second. Knocking out him, Sean Strickland, the same way he knocked out Israel Adesanya. that sent a message. Fear is very much alive. Let's start UFC 276 talk off with this. Fear is very much alive inside the UFC. You can be the baddest man on the planet. You could be at the top. You could be champion for a while. Look at Jose Aldo, what happened when he met Conor McGregor. He got into his head. Conor became an entity. He became something more than a human. He became not just entertainment, but he became somebody that was in line with the universe at that moment. Somebody that truly believed in himself. You saw him before the fight practicing that punch over and over. The 13-second knockout. Getting into people's heads, making them feel less than. The Diaz brothers do it all their time too, and we kind of saw that happen to Conor. I mean, they kind of pulled the same thing with Conor. This is how I kind of felt with Max. You know, Max, we watched go on a 6-year run, guys. He went on a 6-year run, right? And ever since he lost to Conor McGregor, I think 2013, he lasted until, what, 2018, when he lost to Dustin Poirier, I believe. Is that 6 years? 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 2019. 2019 loses to Dustin. Still one of the best. The fight before that, when he fought Brian or T-City, right? He was in there teaching him. We were like, man, it was one of those moments like we saw with Joanna at one point, like with Mighty Mouse. At one point, where they're trying new things. They're kind of bored. Anderson Silva at one point, trying new things, taking risks. When Conor was running the featherweight division, went through everybody. There was no one left. To see Max get beat 3 times, especially this time, dude, was really hard. And I believe his belief in himself was fading. Because he was believing the hype that Volkanovski was putting out there. But what did we learn after the fight? You know, because during the fight, one of my favorite moments, I think it was round one, he's teeing off on Max. I'm too fast for him, he was saying. It got into Max's head. He was fast. But what did Volk say after? What did Alex say after? What did Volkanovski say after? You know, why were you saying that? It's because I had to believe in myself. I had to believe that I was faster. It's not like he wasn't nervous. You have to, I'm going to say it again, probably the 60th podcast I've said this on. Muhammad Ali once said, before knocking out Sonny Liston, I have it nailed to the wall, but it's going to come off. I had to believe I was a champion before I could become a champion. He took on one of the scariest men ever. He did not think he was going to win that. He made himself excited, made himself happy, motivated, behind fear, but it felt alive. It wasn't just going to work, it was enjoying work, and at the same time getting healthy, feeling better, your body being physically fit, your mind going and making yourself just happy, and you feel right. And it's happened to me in my career at a couple points where, you know, I've made videos, vlogs, and after I was done editing, I cried. I was like, man, this is just so awesome. This is so fun. This is what I want to do with my life. This is what makes me feel alive. This is what makes me feel like, you know, the man I always wanted to be, the man I've always been, but never found my place in the world. I was never accepted here, there, or there. But when I do this, I feel alive. I learned so much from the fighters and this and that. For Max, he was there at one point. Volkanovski in there saying, I'm too fast for him. He's too slow. He said that because he needed to make himself believe that. It's true. You know, even my therapist, you know, when I get depressed and I don't want to get out of bed, I have to realize just getting up going in there, brushing my teeth, there's one small victory. Okay, going upstairs, eating a nice healthy breakfast, another small victory. Every action is made from a trigger. You're triggered to get up and do something. You are triggered to say something. You are triggered to look this way. You are triggered to, you know, your mind works off of triggers. And you have a lot more power over your mind than you really even understand. A lot of us don't understand. Conor McGregor was kind of proof of that. You know, believe, achieve, as stupid as it was, and Bisping killing Rockhold for that. But it really is true. I've watched a bunch of interviews. I watched one recently about this huge company. Or what was it? I don't recall exactly, but they're like, how did you do this? And they were saying, well, do you remember the book, The Secret? We got it from that. You know, we envisioned these things, and they happened. And in this fight with Max and Volkanovski, it's like, Max wasn't there. It's not like he was feeding into Volkanovski's show. It wasn't Max Holloway's show anymore. It was Volk's. And he was seeing that with his eyes. And that could really set you back and make you sit back and feel like you don't belong at the cool kids table. And to see that happen to Max Holloway was heartbreaking. It's the passing of the torch, though. Max is still young, but we've seen the passing of the torch over and over again. It's so hard. Look at Jessica Evil Eye. What did I do with my freaking slideshow here? You know, Jessica Evil Eye on top of it all. Going in there, I was seeing the crowd boo her. And to me, in my mind, watching that girl open doors up for countless young women, just like Ronda Rousey did, year after year, when Dana White refused, absolutely refused, to allow women to fight inside the UFC. It was a joke to him. He did not want them fighting in the UFC. She paved a path for a lot of young women to get to where they're at right now. And it's hard to watch somebody like her, somebody like Cowboy Cerrone, go in there and retire. Seeing, especially Cowboy, you know, we don't have many WEC champions left. Rockhold, I guess, right? Who else? Jim Miller leaving too. It's just so sad. Last fight on his contract. And the guy's just been a killer. And the UFC, all they care about. You know what's weird to me? How they have the Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series. They sign this one, that one, the other one, and the other one, right? And then they cut, like, big names. Like, I would still love to see Yoel Romero in there. It's just hard, man. But for Macy Barber, that was such a huge win. And it was perfect. It was the perfect passing of the torch. You can say Jessica Evil Eye was a gatekeeper. You didn't like her. But man, back in the day, I loved Jessica Evil Eye. The photos she would take. Oh, and by the way, I guess she's got an OnlyFans now. As well, I put a photo up for you guys. If you're watching the video cast, she's got an OnlyFans, which I want to check out. I've never been on OnlyFans, actually. It's kind of crazy. Even Luke Rockhold said he's got in OnlyFans where he just sits there and cooks, kind of like Volk is right there. But it's weird because I've said this before. When a fighter retires, they don't know what to do. We watched what happened to BJ Penn. He lost his mind. We watched what happened to Mayhem, my idol. It's very difficult when a fighter focuses their whole life, knows one thing, and that's fighting. Throughout the best years of their life, and now they're close to 40 and they have to figure it out, and they have to figure out a way to retire. They go 40, 50, 60, 70, 70. They're not going to retire until they're 70, 80 years old if they can find a career. And I know kids out of college that can't find a career. I got out of broadcasting school. I have to start my career by scratch, and I'm 10 years in, and I'm not going to retire off of what I'm making. I'm making nothing. You know, I make a couple of bucks. A shout out to Megaphone.fm and Age of Radio for giving me the sponsors and stuff when you tune into the audio podcast. But for fighters, man, it worries me because there's a lot of brain damage happening, and it's not being taken care of by the UFC afterwards either. They don't even care to help take care of a select few that need it. Like Tim Sylvia, that dude needs it. He broke his arm and acted like nothing happened in that fight. Like he didn't break his arm. Like, help that man out. There are fighters from every promotion that helped build MMA, helped build every promotion. At least help them. They told Forrest Griffin and Chuck Liddell that they would always have a job forever with the UFC until they sold for $4 billion. Now they can't afford to pay. There's no use for them. What, you're gonna be making him do the Periscope live after shows? Like, what is going on? It's 2022. I know I've talked about this so many times, and to see somebody like Cowboy, who fought so often, I mean, he's got something good going for him. But, you know, Jessica Evil Eye, you know, there's a lot of fighters. You don't know what's going to happen. You just don't. Also on this card, can we talk about the eye poke? And I really want to know what you guys think about this eye poke, because it's getting our Evil Eye of the Week. So our Evil Eye of the Week, once I find the page, goes to that freaking eye poke that went down versus Pedro and Sugar. Now, a lot of people out there were going, oh, it was definitely an eye poke. You don't know the damages that were done, this and that, blah, blah, blah. Listen, I've kind of picked up. But that eye poke, when it came down to it, let's go to my bookmarks. Because I believe E-Law, in here somewhere, said something about this. Let's go down a little bit more. A little bit more. O'Malley Munoz scorecard. Round one, Mike Bell gave it to Pedro. Round one, Doug Crosby, Munoz. Sal D'Amato gave it to O'Malley. Also, Adelaide Bird was on this fight card as well, guys, which was a little strange, if you have to ask me, because she should definitely not be allowed in there doing that after ruining so many different fighters' careers. I mean, look at Roy Nelson versus Justin the Big Pygmy. Why can't I remember his name for the life of me? The Big Pygmy. Can't remember his name, but did an interview with him a long time ago. I mean, Sugar Sean O'Malley was doing so well at the end of that second round, if you ask me. He landed a couple of really nice shots. Yeah, Pedro landed a couple of nice really nice leg kicks, and I gotta say that the crowd was really trying to manipulate by booing at Pedro for doing that. They did not want him to do that because they knew if he did that, it was kind of cheap to win over Sugar, because that's kind of his weak spot, right? And then you see people like John Jones wrestling a wrestler, out wrestling an Olympic wrestler. That's like what you want to see. You don't want to see somebody kind of take the easy way, but at the same time, you want to win this fight. You want to win the money, or else you're only getting half. You know, if you're getting 15-15 and you lose, you're getting 15. If you win, you get 30. Or you can just go balls to the wall with Suga and get 50K. But we look back at that eye poke, right? And it looked like it just grazed the inside. And I shared photos on Twitter of fighters who had fingers through their eyes. Like Verdum. Look at Matt Mitrione. I thought when we were watching that fight with Matt, I think it was against Travis Brown, it looked like his entire eye fell out of his head. When I saw that, I screamed and like gagged because I thought his eye was out of his head, like on some Kimbo Slice video type shit. And he like fought through it. How many times have we seen it happen? Bilal Muhammad, it happened to. That did not look painful. They gave him 5 minutes, or they're giving him time. I mean, Max Holloway, they didn't even stop it for Max. The cut on Max Holloway's freaking eyebrow, you could fit the whole Q-tip in. The whole Q-tip was in his head. And they got the bleeding to stop. I just don't get it. And he was saying he got poked in the eye before that. I got to rewatch it for the third time because originally I didn't think he did. But then I think a little before that, he actually did. But it wasn't like a real eye poke. His fingers were extended. Didn't seem like it would really affect him. And then he sits there like this when the doctor comes up. All I see is black. With his eyes closed. Somebody pointed that out to me. I thought it was hilarious. With his eyes closed, he said, all I see is black. I want that to be the opening of this podcast. You know, I got to make a new intro for Period of MMA with a really nice song and some quotes from some of the interviews, and especially that one, all I see is black, and then comes in for Pure Evil MMA. Hey guys, it's Paul Felder, you're listening to Pure Evil MMA. Hey, it's Mayhem Miller, you're listening to Pure Evil MMA. Hey, it's Valentina Shevchenko. Hey, you know, I gotta do that. Why haven't I done that yet? Absolutely out of my mind. Yeah, man, so I really think he took the cheap way out of that fight. I think he was nervous that he was going to lose. I think he got hit pretty hard by Suga. And he was just shook. He didn't want to be there. He wanted nothing to do with it. That's what I saw. And I never come at fighters because I'm just giving you my opinion from watching this sport and doing media and learning about media and for over 23 years, I'm 37, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 27 years. 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. Holy shit. 27 years I've been watching. What? Wow. 27 years I've been watching the UFC and learning about broadcasting, I just realized. Which, wow, I'm old. I just turned 33, but that really freaks me out. First time I was on the radio, first interview I ever did, it was a Stone Cold Steve Austin. The night the beef started, too. I interviewed him at KC 101 here in Connecticut. And I would love for them to find the archive of this interview. Stone Cold Steve Austin talking to a little evil Eddie in an interview. I interviewed him. I got to stay home from school as a kid. I think I was in third or fourth grade. And, you know, my dad's best friend worked at KC 101, and I was just obsessed. We would go to the movies every weekend, and he would do, you know, the recaps on the movies if this was good. He'd bring me every weekend, bring me in the studio and show me things, and I was just obsessed. I got on the radio multiple times. I won tickets to concerts. You know, I had a blast. First interview I ever did was Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's been 27 years I've been doing this. So even though I don't come at fighters, I do feel like I should be respected of my opinion. I've interviewed thousands of fighters. I trained when I was younger. I was on all the all-star teams. I played baseball. I was, you know, fucking captain of the football team in high school for the defense. Till I tore my meniscus, which I give a lot of credit to people in fighting when they tear their meniscus and that thing makes a pop noise and it gets stuck. My leg was stuck up like this for 6 or 7 days before it would relax. And I had to have surgery on it, man. And it scarred me. I didn't want to like bend over too much. that sounds a little weird, but yeah, man, think about all these fighters, the surgeries they go through. You know, you look at Anderson Silva breaking his leg and being able to come back. That's a lot. You got to give him a lot of credit. But to be poked in the eye and then quit wasn't even a bad poke. And they said he left on a stretcher in an ambulance. So I really do hope it's not that bad. I don't have any update for you. If you guys have any updates, please let me know. Because that's what here in the state we call shook. He was a shook one. No disrespect to him. I would love to talk to him about that. But I got to know what you guys think. Also, we got to talk about another fight. What other fight are we going to talk about here? Well, what other fight than Robbie Lawler versus Bam Bam? Guys, Robbie Lawler has been doing this thing for 20 years. He missed prom night. Or what was it, Robbie? Or was it me? No, it was Robbie. He missed his prom night. I think he was 18 years old and had a live fight the night of prom. And he showed up for the fight. Imagine how mad your girl would be. I hope his girl went with him to support him. But, man, I wouldn't want to fight. I'd want to be grappling with my girl all night afterwards. You know what I mean? It's prom. Robbie Lawler has dedicated his life to mixed martial arts. And a lot of you guys may not even know this. The diehards do. Robbie left the UFC for a while. You know, the WEC days when Nick Diaz knocked him out. When Nick Diaz wasn't known as a knockout artist, going in there going, I'm going to do it. Knocked Robbie Lawler out. Absolutely brutal. Definitely go back and watch that fight. But Robbie, you know, like Arlovski, came back, made a resurgence. We had, you know, Rory Mack too. What was that, UFC 189? Best night ever. Ever. You know, that's what I love about mixed martial arts. That's what I love about the UFC. We are witnessing history. These past 10 years, guys, we've witnessed so much history that will forever be embedded in how this sport grew and became what it is now. And don't think for a second that you didn't have anything to do with it. Because the one thing about mixed martial arts that's different than any other sport, we came up on the internet in the forums, guys. We would talk to fighters. We would get it. Back in the day, I can't even tell you, it was awesome. You would have fighters check. It was just crazy. We'd set up fights on the underground, stuff like that. Oh, man. I should get some old school fighters to talk about the OUG. But, you know, Twitter plays a huge role in, you know, setting up a lot of these fights. The Twitter beefs. What fans want. What fans don't want. We really manipulate a lot of things that happen inside the UFC, inside the PFL or Bellator. We really do. I really hope you guys understand that. We play a part. And it's kind of messed up that these fighters can step in there and get the shit beat out of them, but they get hurt by words online. Like Rashad Evans was saying, I made fake parody accounts because the words would get under my skin. But yeah, you go in there and get punched in the face, knocked out. But some guy, you know what I mean? Like, it's just so strange. And it shows you the mentality of how somebody can get in your head and make you feel less than, you know, people you don't know. People on Twitter with eggheads. You know, when you make a Twitter account, you start with an egghead. You know, people's opinions really do count, because in MMA, what it comes down to is us, guys. We're the ones giving them the money. We're the ones that grew it. We're the ones that are excited. We're the ones that are going to share with our friends and promote for free. By the way, promote for free. We do more promoting than their own fighters. Look, Alex Pereira doesn't even have a Twitter yet. Like, they do classes on that. Like, how do you not have a Twitter yet? But getting back to Robbie Lawler, man. He had Fight of the Year with Rory Mack, right? Two. And then at the beginning of the year, he fought Carlos Condit. Another fight of the year. He's had so many amazing moments, but hasn't really been himself since, right? Since the Condit fight, I feel like Rory hasn't been his true self and didn't give us the performances that we were so used to, the ruthless Robbie Lawler. Thought he was going to be champion for a long time. I truly did. When he got in there with Barbarina, though, boy, it was on. That was a Lawler fight right there. It reminded me so much of Rory, of Lawler, Robbie Lawler versus Rory McDonald, too. So much of it. Where we watched Robbie get pieced up, then explode and just rock Rory McDonald to the point where you didn't know who was going to win. They were giving it all, and then that stare off that they had, iconic. That's what went down in this fight. And you know what they almost did to us? They, and Marcel confirmed this for me, they almost put Robbie Lawler on the prelims. On the prelims. The guy we would pay $60, $70 to watch fight every pay-per-view. On the prelims. Glad they boosted him up, because that was one hell of a fight. And what a victory for Brian Bam Bam Barbarina, who a lot of you guys may not know actually has a brother who fights. I've seen him fight for, I believe, CES against Dennis Paiva. Or was it Andre Yule? I forgot. But yeah, guys, you know what we like to do at this point for that main card? You know, if you're paying $15, $15.30, $45, $60, $70, you're paying more than $15 per fight, right? $2, $4, $6, basically $20 per fight. Every one of those fights was worth it, except the O'Malley fight. Such a shame. That was such an opportunity for Sugar. Such a shame. Shout out to Macy as well. That was another amazing fight. Cowboy Cerrone retiring. Jim Miller's last fight, absolutely sad. Jessie just getting her arm broken. So if we got to rate this card, guys, I give it it's hard, right? Because that co-main event should have been the main event, like Elaw was saying on Twitter. Izzy didn't show up. I really hope he puts on. But you know what? That happens. As a champion fighting at the elite level, it happens sometimes. I was joking, this is Anderson Silva versus Maya all over again, which wasn't, you know, but man, I just kind of lost interest. And I don't know if it was due to the entire card being absolutely amazing at the edge of our seat, or if the co-main event was just amazing. I do want to see Alex Volkanovski move up a weight class. He needs to. Come on, let's do that. Let's do Volk versus Connor. Let's do that. What would you guys like to see is the real question. Let me know on Twitter, evil_echo, that's EVIL_ECCO, or down below here in the comments. Guys, we need more subscribers here on Pure Evil MMA. I've been doing these live here once again, which I stopped for a while. We're trying to get to 4,000 subscribers, so please give us a thumbs up and subscribe. Turn that notification bell on, because we're killing it on iTunes, Spotify. I'm getting paid $15 a week right now, which may not seem a lot, but it's pretty big. Once I wasn't getting paid, I just started figuring out like the ads and stuff, and now I'm making $15 per episode, basically, which is pretty decent. Also, new merch coming out. I'm getting distracted here. I give this a 7 out of it. We'll remember this pay-per-view by the end of the year. I'm going to give this an 8 out of 10. 7.5 out of 10, 8 out of 10. We'll see how we feel in a little bit. But there's definitely some fights on here we'll remember for a long time. Especially the Volkanovski fight. And what's going to happen to Max now? Where does Max go? We're going to have to wait and see what happens. I'd like to give a shout out to the UFC camera team as well. I don't think you guys realize how hard of a job that is. Switching camera angles. This absolutely amazing. Walkout of the night. Easily Israel Adesanya, but it would have been even better if he got the knockout. So we'll see what happens next, what he brings to the table. With that being said, guys, I'm Evil Eddie from Pure Evil MMA. I want to thank my guest, and you can follow him at Fiorda, F-I-O-R-D-A, on Instagram, Twitter, and I'll have all the links down below. So Jared Bear Fiorda, great conversation. Go give him a follow and definitely check out his content. Some of my favorite. And I'll let you guys know as soon as we get some of this merch up. That being said, guys, this is episode 434, I think. I'm Evil Eddie. Remember, without evil, there's no purity. White knuckles till the end. Behave yourselves.